Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on before you every Saturday morning and break bread with you. Amen. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and the senior pastor, Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. begins their worship service. They have Bible studies every Wednesday, actually every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time. You can call to this number, 917-388-4161, and listen to their Bible study live. They also have Bible study at their locations every Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International, Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Well, before we get into the word, we're going to hear a couple of songs, amen?
Chosen generation, called for this
won't change how God sees me. My success and my failure both work together for the good. God erased the pain of yesterday, and in exchange, new life is what He gave.
Says I am. And then the first song says, I know who I am. He said, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. When you know who you are, you know who you're not. When you know who you are, you know who you're not. One of the biggest issues we have in this world is not inflation, not food shortage, not gun control. The biggest issue we have in this world is identity crisis. That's the biggest thing we have, identity crisis. People do not know who they are. Because if you know who you are, there's a sense of peace. There's joy. There's rest for your soul. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And if you learn of me, you will find rest unto your souls. A rest. And the main reason why there's no rest is because people do not know who they are. Identity crisis. So the question this morning is, how much rest are you getting? Do you know who you are? Glory to God. Just wanted to share that with you this morning. I am who God says I am. So who does God say we are? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. And holy nation. A peculiar people. A peculiar people means that those are the ones who God shows his favor to. They're chosen specifically for God to just pour out his love upon, shower down his blessings upon. Protect. If people only knew how God sees them. If people only knew how God sees them. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Had some sounded like some bad weather last night, but woke up this morning and Doesn't even look like it rained. The thunder was shaking the house. Lightning all over the place. Thank God for his protection. Hallelujah. For his comfort. I know who I am. Want to send out a few shout outs. Today, our brother Anthony and his fiance LaShonda will be getting married today. Congratulations. Glory to God. Send out our love. Had a few birthdays this week. Actually have one today, a cousin Terry. Came all the way from California to celebrate his birthday in Mississippi. So just want to pray that all goes well. He has a blessed day today. Love you, sir. Brother Fenton and Sister Rena celebrated birthdays this week. Then we had some anniversaries. One of my best friends, Lamont. Lamont and Shasta Jackson celebrated their 25th anniversary. Glory to God. And as I mentioned last week, my spiritual father, Walter Henderson III, he and Mother Henderson, Joycelyn Henderson, celebrated their 38th year holy matrimony. Glory to God. And I have a nephew. I call him the philosophizer, Mr. Davy Young, celebrating his birthday today. Glory to God. Love you, sir. Be picking my brain at late at night when I'm trying to get some rest. He's up thinking up questions I can't even answer. Love you, Davion. Talking to you later, sir. Well, we're going to get into the word, amen. Coming out of the book of 1 John, 2nd chapter. Verses 15 through 17. 1 John, 2nd chapter. That's 1 John, not St. John. When you go to Revelation, book of Revelation, just turn left. And you'll run into 1 John. 1 John, the 2nd chapter. Verses 15 through 17. And it reads, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. want to read verse 16 again. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The title of the message this morning is The Pride of Life. The Pride of Life. Let us pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for watching over us as we lay down to rest before you. Thank you for charging your angels to be encamped around about us, protecting us and keeping us in their care, Father, watching over us. Thank you, Father, for waking us up this morning with new mercies. With more grace, Father. Endure, to face and to conquer everything that has been planned throughout the day, Father. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for courage. Thank you for boldness, Father. Thank you for endurance. And Father, thank you for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, God, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you will have to say to us this morning, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us ready, God, to build us up, to encourage us, to prepare us to go out into this world and do what you called us to do. Thank you for your word, Father. Your word that heals, your word that saves, your word that delivers, your word that sets free them who are captive and bound and what we call sin. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins, God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Father, for allowing him to even go to hell for us, taking the keys of hell from Satan, stripping him of his power. And thank you, Father, for raising Jesus up on the third day with all power. Hallelujah. And delegating that power to us that we may walk in authority as your children, as your representatives, Father. And thank you, Father, for receiving Jesus into heaven with this precious, sinless, conquering blood. Hallelujah. Defeating hell, grave, death, sin. And now, Father, as we receive your word, help us to apply it to our lives, God. To make it personal. I decrease that you may increase, Father. I surrender unto you and say, use me for your glory. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We thank you and we praise you. in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The pride of life. Let's look at the word pride. Pride, I'm going to read something out of the Holman Bible Dictionary talking about pride. It says, undue confidence in and attention to one's own skills, accomplishments, state, possessions, or position. Pride is easier to recognize than to define. Easier to recognize in others than in oneself. That's interesting. Many biblical words describe this concept, each with its own emphasis. Some of the synonyms for pride include arrogance, presumption, conceit, self-satisfaction, boasting, and high-mindedness. It is the opposite of humility, the proper attitude one should have in relation to God. So if humility is the proper attitude we should have, pride is improper. We'll leave that there. Pride is rebellion against God. That speaks for itself. Pride is rebellion against God because it attributes to itself the honor and glory due to God alone. God says, he would share his glory with no man. All glory goes to God. But it says that pride is rebellion against God because it attributes to self the honor and glory due to God alone. That's how we end the prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples. Because it's all about God. Your power, your glory, your honor, to you alone be glory and honor and power and dominion. All of those attributes belong to God. So it takes some kind of mindset to step into place and attribute God's glory and God's honor to oneself. It says, proud persons do not think it necessary to ask for forgiveness. Wow. Knowing that you've done wrong. Because the word says that when we intentionally, willfully, knowingly do what is wrong, it's sin. So someone knowing that they've done wrong, but refuse to ask for forgiveness. God calls that pride. Proud persons do not think it necessary, not even cross their mind don't even think it necessary to ask forgiveness because they do not admit their sinful condition. And that's where it starts. It starts with confession. You must first acknowledge your sin by confessing it. But if it's not confessed, if someone doesn't confess their sin, they're not going to ask for forgiveness. Life of pride. This attitude toward God finds expression in one's attitude toward others. Now just imagine this attitude, this mindset of someone rebelling against God, that's taking God's glory and honor for themselves. If they're that kind of person, that would basically spit in God's face, imagine how they treat people. Says this attitude toward God finds expression in one's attitude toward others, often causing people to have a low estimate of the ability and worth of others, and therefore to treat them with either contempt or cruelty. Wow. That's what it is, that pride is easier to recognize than to define. This is not in my notes, but the Lord said pride does not hide. Pride does not hide. There's a term called coming out. Pride does not hide. Some have considered pride to be the root and essence of sin. Others consider it to be sin in its final form. In either case, it is a grievous sin. So some say pride is the root and the essence of sin. And others say that it's considered to be sin in its final form. And the first place where we can see sin is in heaven. Man, that's like an oxymoron. The first place we can see sin is in heaven. See, when we think about what went on with Lucifer had the attitude of rebelling against God. And once pride entered in his heart, then he went around affecting other angels, telling them that because he was the one leading praise and worship in heaven, that he should get God's glory. That he should be the one sitting on the throne. That he should be in the place of God. Imagine that. That's boldness. That's arrogance. That's conceit. That's high-mindedness. Putting himself on the pedestal. Now that's one thing for someone else to put you on the pedestal, but putting yourself, that's high-minded. Because of that, Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because of pride. The root. And then it says that pride can be sin in its final form. Let's go to Romans. Romans, the first chapter. Talking about the pride of life. Romans, the first chapter. Want to do a little bit of reading just to lay a foundation. Starting at verse 18, and it reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." So people already know right from wrong. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. People are without excuse. They can't say, I didn't know. Because it's written in our hearts. It's written in our hearts. Whether people say a higher being, the big man upstairs, God, we know that there's one who is greater. The one that we should submit to. The one that we should humble ourselves before. The one we should answer to. So it says that eternal power of knowing who God is, people have no excuse. Verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, when they knew God, knew in past tense. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Who did the glory go to? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. Professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. When you think you know it all, that's when you know nothing. When you think you know it all, that's when you know nothing at all. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. But God says, shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no graven image. Give no one my glory. Verse 21 reads, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, to dishonor their own bodies. Between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Wow.
Wow. Born like this. Change the truth to a lie. God made male a male and made female a female. God, Almighty God, the one who makes no mistake, now someone can say God messed up. I don't believe that I'm actually a male. I don't believe that I'm actually a female. Vain in their imagination. So I'm gonna change who I was created to be. Verse 25 reads, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Wow. And worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Ungrateful of who God created them to be. Through the lust of their own heart. See, when we look at the base scriptures, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. See, God is not the author of confusion. If someone is confused about who they are, it has nothing to do with God. It's an identity crisis. But answer of who we are is in his word. He said, we're going to create this human being in our own image, after our likeness, just like us, the Godhead bodily, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. A triune being. Spirit, the Spirit of God, when he breathed his breath, his life, his spirit into that earthly body, it says that he became a living soul. So we're spirit, soul, and body. A spirit that lives in the body and has a soul. Said, male and female created he them. God knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing. Let's go on. Romans 1, verse 26. Says, for this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Women with women, men with men, said, change the natural use, which is against nature. Verse 28 reads, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. So, where it says about pride being the sin in its final form, this where it is. Said God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Not convenient. It's inconvenient. You're going out of the way of God to do the things that are unnatural. And for that reason, because someone refuses to do the will of God, which is to be who God created them to be, says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Removed his hand. Say, okay, if that's how you want to be, because he's not forceful. Just free will to choose. People talk about choice. It's a choice. But the options are life or death. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you may have life and that more abundantly. Joshua gave the nation of Israel an ultimatum. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Who are people choosing this day, today? Gave them up to a reprobate mind. The pride of life. God says, it's your choice. It's your decision. You have to live with it. But whatever choice you make, there's either rewards or consequences. I don't know about you, but I choose life. The pride of life. Well, that's it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us of why we were created. To be who you called us to be. To be who you created us to be. To be who you chose us to be. Thank you, Father. And Father, we pray for those who have chose not to be who you created them to be. We thank you, Father, that even on this day, they will feel so uncomfortable. So ashamed, so heartbroken that they would turn towards you, Father, and confess their sins and ask for forgiveness. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The pride of life. Love you. God bless you. Talk to you next week. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard.